Thank you, Todd, and I'll say amen to that. Thank you for the good singing. What a blessing to be able to sing praises to our Lord together. It was 1957, really just a few months before I was born. That spring, a group of Christians from this local assembly made their way about an hour west, and they climbed up the backside of Sourtown Mountain. They climbed up that mountain and they came down the other side. They had heard about a piece of property that might be useful as a youth camp someday, that boys and girls and young people could hear about the Lord Jesus. They climbed up that mountain and they came sliding down onto the knoll where today the lodge sits. And there, as they looked around, they had a vision. I don't mean they saw something supernatural or something mysterious, but they had a vision. They looked from that place and all they could see were rocks and rocks and trees and more rocks. But standing there on the side of that mountain, they could see into the future and what God might do. They took off their hats and they got down on their knees and they prayed. They prayed that one day in the will of the Lord that boys and girls might sing praises to God on the side of that mountain. You see, those individuals, young and old, male and female, had a vision. They had a perspective on the future of what God was wanting to do and what God could do. And they prayed that it would be what God will do. And praise God, that vision has come to fruition in Mountaintop Youth Camp. But you know, there's still a need for vision at Mountaintop Youth Camp. You know, there's still rocks and trees, and there's still a lot to be done there, not only in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense as well. I believe God is pleased when we look forward and we, in confidence in His ability and His willingness, even as we reflected on those characteristics of Him in the Lord's Supper this morning, as we remembered the Lord Jesus, I believe that He is pleased as we look forward, as we look to the future with purpose and conviction, as we desire in our own lives and in our families and in this local assembly to look to the future and determine we're not just going to float with the tide wherever we may be taken, but rather we're going to intentionally row together to reach a specific point. I read something this past week that really struck me. And I want to kind of bring it to us this morning in this way, that as we look into the future as an assembly, that we would desire together that our dreams would become bigger than our memories. Now, you may have some wonderful memories here. This may be your first time. You may not have any memories except of the past 20 minutes. Or maybe you've been here for years, and even back when this assembly met over on Forest Street. Maybe you have great memories of the past as I do, brought up, raised up in this local assembly. But you know how wonderful it would be if all of us together could embrace the reality that with God, our future could be bigger than our memories. Maybe not numerically, maybe so. But God's work being done intentionally for His glory, that might be a reality as we continue into the future. God has done great things through this local assembly in the past. And we build upon that as we continue to move into the future. Hopefully with the conviction that what God has planned for us to accomplish for Him is greater than anything that we can see in the past. And you know what? According to Paul's prayer in Ephesians, God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or even think. He can do more than we can imagine. The leadership of a local assembly has a responsibility to lead. And the elders here are seeking, as we started to share last week or began sharing last week, we're seeking to verbalize our vision for Shannon Hills Bible Chapel as we continue into the future. I'm going to ask you to turn back to Ephesians 4. If you were here last Sunday morning, we read this passage from Ephesians chapter 4. And we zeroed in on one verse, and I want us to read these 16 verses again. And then we're going to zero again in on verse 12, and we're going to finish up. We got three of our four points of this vision that we find in verse 12 particularly. And we trust that as you hear these verses read and as your eyes follow along, that you will get excited. That there'll be enthusiasm, not just from emotion, but from the reality that God is the one who does the work. God is the one who leads, and God is the one who builds. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, by the Spirit of God, writes, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." There's a vision right there. Go back to verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And that's what the elders have verbalized as the vision for our local assembly at this time, moving into the future. It's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ through the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As we saw last week, there are four things really in this verse, and they build on one another. One leads to the next. We might think of it here in the idea of a flow chart. If you look through the verse, you see equip saints, and the equipped saints, the equipping of the saints, leads to energized service. And then that energized service, Paul writes by the Spirit, leads to an edified, a built-up body. And then that built-up body results in the exaltation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Very quickly, a quick review. And if you weren't here last week, a very quick review. First of all, exalted Savior. It all starts and ends with Him. In verse 10, we read of Him, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that He might fill all things." That's where He is today. He's there at the right hand of the Father on high. And we have the great privilege of praising and glorifying Him, exalting Him who is already exalted to the highest place. He is the Savior of the body. And then the second thing we consider together was that of the edified body. The members together, built up. Chapter 4 and verse 16 speaks there of the whole body joined and knit together. As I read that again last night in my final preparations for this message, my heart was touched by that little phrase. In thinking of our local assembly and the members of the body, of this local body, joined and knit together. That's how God sees it. That's His desire. And you notice there, as we continue reading that verse, you notice how verse 16 ends. Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body of Christ on earth built up. The universal body all over this world. And the local body here that meets at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, being strengthened and growing as Christians mature in Christ. And as unbelievers trust the Lord Jesus as Savior and are brought into the body so as to exalt Christ. Does your heart blaze this morning or burn or even flicker with a desire for the Savior to be exalted? Do you long to see this local body of believers grow deeper and stronger and wider and higher? Let's do that together. Let's do that together. And then energize service, that work of ministry, that thought of energy, that thought of working together in the ministry or in the service of Christ. And again there in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, notice it, by which every part does its share. Opportunities and ideas for serving here within the local body, within the universal body, and out in the world as we take the gospel by what we say and what we do. Every part of the body doing its part in the body. That's what we desire. Every part of the body doing its part in the body. That's the longing of our hearts together. That we might, in through energized service, see the body edified, seeing the body growing. Are you excited by the idea of being a part of an energized group of saints who are serving in ways that matter for eternity? And then from verse 12, we find that required for energized service, which results in body building and exaltation of the Savior, is that of equipped saints. And that's where we left off last time. And we want to consider this fourth and final aspect of this verse and of this vision. Equip saints. It starts with saints. And there in verse 12, he speaks of the equipping of the saints. Saint literally means a holy one. A sanctified person, a set apart person. And I'll just start very briefly this morning asking you, are you a saint? Are you a saint? Now, if you go out and ask that at work tomorrow, do you think I'm a saint? You know, they might have a different understanding. And out in the world, if you say somebody's a saint, they think, oh, that's a really good person. Man, they really live a religious life. That person's a saint. You know what? God looked down at the church in Corinth, and if you remember back when we studied the 1 Corinthians a little bit, did an overview, you know, that was a messed up bunch of people. A messed up bunch of sinners before they got saved, and they still had a lot of issues after they got saved. And God looked at them and said, "You're saints." Because you see, in God's eyes, a saint is a holy one, someone set apart for His service. Those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Look back here in Ephesians. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, how it begins here. And I might just mention here, going back to chapter 1 and verse 1, he's writing to the saints who were in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." That is a description of unholiness, of impurity. And that's us before we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Look at verse 8. You know it well. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We find there that it's by grace that we're saved, through faith. Continue on down in this chapter. Look at verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And then verse 19. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Unholy, separated from God, no matter how religious we may have been, no matter how many Bible verses we may have memorized, no matter how many prayers we might have prayed, no matter how many good deeds we might have performed before we came to Jesus Christ in faith, we were unholy. We were guilty. We were separated from God, and we were on our way to hell. But by the grace of God, He made it possible through the blood of His Son, who came and lived the life of perfection, of sinlessness, of perfect holiness. And He died there on that cross and shed His blood and took our sins on Himself. And He made it possible that we could be right before God, that we could be redeemed back to God, that we could be reconciled, that we could be given life in Christ, that we could be made new creations, that we could be sanctified, that we could be holy, that we could be declared to be saints. It's through the death of the Lord Jesus and His resurrection that those who are guilty are actually brought into the place where God can say, "You are holy. You are a saint by grace, not of works." A saint is a holy one. And the saints are to be equipped. They're to be furnished. They're to be provided with whatever is needed for an undertaking. And in order to energetically serve, we need to be equipped. You know, it's frustrating to go into school without the proper supplies. It's difficult to go into a situation like a new job without first being equipped to handle the responsibilities that the employer expects of you. It's tragic to enter the battlefield with no prior preparation. Equipping is essential if saints are going to energetically serve and build up the body so that Christ is exalted in our world. There are a number of places in Scripture where this the Greek word translated equipped is translated differently, and I think it demonstrates to us some of what equipping involves. I'm not going to ask you to turn for sake of time, but I'm going to give you the references. First of all, in Hebrews 10 and verse 5, it's a verse that a brother shared with us at the Lord's Supper this morning. It's the Lord Jesus speaking. Therefore, when he came into the world, he, the Lord Jesus, said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Same word in the Greek. Translated here, prepared. It means to make something ready or suitable in advance for a particular purpose. And the example here is the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was prepared by his Father for him, for his work in this world. And the saints need to be prepared. We need to be ready to serve. And we need to be prepared to energetically serve. There's another time it's translated mending. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21, we read of the Lord Jesus as he went on from where he was. It says he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Same word there, translated equipping, mending their nets. Mending means to make something usable by repairing it. And the example we have here in that verse are fishing nets. And they would take the nets out and they would work with them and they would catch fish with them and they would drag them maybe along the bottom, maybe on the shore into the boat full of fish, hopefully. And sometimes those nets would get torn and ripped and they had to mend them. You know, sometimes the saints get torn. And as they serve, sometimes the saints get bruised and they get ripped apart and there's mending that's needed so we can get back into the water and get serving. Another word is restoring. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we have the example of a believer who falls into sin. And in Galatians 6:1, we read, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Restore. Restore. To bring back to a former place or position. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, we sometimes slip and fall. But that doesn't mean that our story is over. That doesn't mean that our time of service is complete. We need to be equipped. We need to be restored back to a place of energetic service in the body. One other word I'd like for us to consider, and that's completing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul writes to the saints there in Thessalonica concerning their deficiency in certain areas of faith. And he says that night and day he was praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect or complete what is lacking in your faith. You see, the saints are at varying levels of spiritual maturity. And whether we like to think about it or not, every one of us, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how spiritually mature we are, we all have deficiencies, we all have shortcomings, we all have lack in some area or areas. And we need to be completed. We need to have wrong views corrected. We need to have those things that are foggy clarified. We need to have shoveled in what is lacking in our faith. Let me just think for a few moments about some of the things with which saints need to be equipped in order that we might be prepared and that we might be mended if we need it. We might be restored. We might be completed. Remind you of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Word of God is essential if we are going to be equipped, if we're going to be ready to energetically serve so that the body can be built up, so that the Lord Jesus can be exalted as He deserves, the Word of God must be brought into our minds and hearts and out into our lives. Let's just reflect for a few moments on some of the things that from the Word we can be equipped with, and we need to. First of all, we need to be equipped with knowledge. Some of you in your business, or maybe just in your educational pursuits, have taken what are called continuing education courses. Those are essential for the saints. If we're going to be equipped, if we're going to be ready to serve, then we need to be involved in continuing education. Our knowledge base must always be growing. Brothers and sisters, there is always more to learn. There is always more to learn because our subject is infinite. Because we need more knowledge of God. More knowledge of His character. We need to know more about the ways in which He has worked in the past, in which He says He will work in the present. We need to have greater knowledge of His will as revealed in the Scripture. We need to know more about His plans for the future. We need to know His warnings. We need to know His enablements. We need knowledge of God. And we need knowledge of our own needs, as well as the needs of others in our world today. It's one thing to see what we need, and we struggle enough with that sometimes. But oftentimes our own needs get projected onto others, and that might not be their needs at all. And we need to be in the Word of God, and having the Word of God dwelling richly in us, that we might know more of the needs around us. And we need to gather together that we might hear the needs of others shared, that we might see and notice and sense the needs of others. We need to be equipped with knowledge, and we need to be equipped with understanding. Understanding might be defined as wisdom in applying knowledge. We need to have understanding about how to take the truths of the Word of God, the things that we know, the knowledge base that we have, and we need to apply it into life. We need to be equipped with the right attitude, the right mindset. We need to know how to use the tools that God has given to us. We need to understand the skills that we have, not only naturally, but also our spiritual gifts, our spiritual enablements. We need to understand how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, how to be sensitive to other people, how to be sensitive to the very heartbeat of this local body. And we do that as we are equipped, as we come together. We need to be equipped with correction. You see, the Word of God is profitable for teaching. It's also profitable for rebuke and for correction. And sometimes, oftentimes, we need an attitude adjustment. And we need to be together with the people of God, exposed to the Word of God, that God might be able to work in us individually and corporately concerning our attitude. We need to be equipped with motivation. We all, if we are going to be in the battle, if we're going to be in the field, if we're going to be in the vineyard, if we're going to be working energetically, we need to be encouraged. We have an ongoing need for exhortation and encouragement, and oftentimes a kick in the pants. We need that. We need to be together. We need to be equipped with guidance, that we might be careful to stay on course, that we might know the direction in which the assembly is moving, in which God is using us and directing us as individuals. We need to be equipped with perspective. We need to grow in our understanding of how to look at circumstances in life how to address problems, how to engage opportunities. All of these come with being equipped. And last but definitely not least, we need to be equipped with an intimacy with the Lord. And all of these things, all of these equippings, come as we gather together, not only as we gather together, but as we gather together as a local assembly. God is working to equip us in these and other areas. Why? Not just that we might sit back equipped, saying, look at me, I'm the equipped servant. Well, you're not an equipped servant. You might be equipped, but you're not an equipped servant unless you're serving. You see, that is the result of being equipped, is that we might energetically serve. And that's not an end in itself either. Our service is not an end in itself. Rather, that's that the body might be built up. And an edified, built up body is not an end in itself. No, the ultimate, the purpose of it all, is the exaltation of our Savior. But it starts back here with equipping. We don't want to be guilty of some of the first century believers were of forsaking the assembling of themselves together. I want to ask you to take your bulletin out for a moment. If you got a bulletin, pull it out. Todd told us to refer to it, and we're going to refer to it right now. I want you to, I don't know how frequently you use your bulletin. I want to encourage you to use the bulletin. So many ways you can do that, for prayer, for planning, to know what's going on. But I just want you to look through this bulletin very briefly this morning. We often think of Acts 2:42, and that's a very important verse, Acts 2:42. And here I've got up on the screen behind me this thought of equipping the saints through, first of all, the scheduled meetings of the assembly. And we base these meetings on what we find in Acts 2:42, where we see that the early believers in the first local church there in Jerusalem, Acts 2:42, it's recorded that they devoted themselves, they committed themselves consistently to teaching or doctrine, fellowship, sharing their lives, breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and prayers. Well, look here at this schedule. Start out at the very first thing you see on Sunday morning is the Lord's Supper at 9:30. Now, we would say right off that of all the meetings we have, this is the meeting where we come most focused on giving rather than receiving. We come to give to God worship, thanksgiving, appreciation, admiration, because we're remembering His Son who died on the cross for us and was buried and rose again. And we're coming to tell the Father how much we appreciate the Son. But we must realize, or we should realize, that when we come to give to the Lord in remembrance and worship, though it is not our intention to be equipped, one of the results, one of the byproducts, is that we are equipped. Because you see, it's there in that meeting, more than any other meeting, that the motivation for service comes to light. You see, it's there when we focus on the Lord Jesus for that time. When we meditate on Him, when we sing about Him, when we consider verses about Him, when we pray together about Him, when it's all about Him, that's where the real heart motivation comes. Because remember, that's at the top of the list. That's what it's all about. Exalting the Savior. But then we move down and we see at 11 o'clock the family Bible hour. Sunday at 11 and Sunday at 7 are meetings where the elders purposefully select speakers who will equip you, who will take the Word of God and will inform, will apply, will exhort, will rebuke, will rebuke, will correct, will remind, because the Word of God is profitable. And God gifts different individuals to take His Word and to share it in different settings. Now, it's true that you can get plenty of the Word of God on your own. And today, with all the resources we have, you could say, I don't need to come to meet together with the saints. But God says that we do. He says, don't do like some. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But rather devote yourselves corporately to the apostles' doctrine, to the teaching. God desires that we meet together. And as speakers from this assembly and those who come from the outside that are invited in, we encourage you, there's a purpose, there's an intent in these speakers coming. It's not just to fill up a schedule or fill up 40 minutes. It's with the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Last Sunday night we had a DVD, part of a series we're doing with Answers in Genesis. Their foundation series with Ken Ham. Very important apologetic information, exhortation that we're sharing it not just so you can watch a DVD, but that we can be equipped. Even the music as we participate and listen and focus on the words, we're equipped for the work of the ministry. The same is true of our morning Sunday school as the children go out and our Sunday evening youth ministries. And then you notice Wednesday evening there at 7:30, it's a meeting where we seek to be equipped and to equip others through prayer for one another and also for others whose needs are mentioned. You also might notice there at 10:40 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Sunday, 10:40 a.m., 6:30 p.m., there are prayer groups. And we feel that prayer is very important because God knows it's important. And maybe on Wednesday night we need to focus more on praying that we will be prepared, that we will be mended, that we'll be restored, that we need to be completed. And then we also have ministry of the Word. Fellowship. Though we don't list it as a separate meeting, we want it to be an important aspect of every meeting. The sharing of our lives together. And that there would be a spiritual emphasis in that which would serve to instruct and to testify and exhort. And I encourage you to come early and or stay late before and after the meetings. Take advantage of the time between the meetings. It's not just time that is wasted. Rather, it's a time that should be used to emphasize the sharing of our spiritual lives. Provides opportunities for one-on-one and small group equipping. And whether we know it or not, it's a great opportunity to be equipped and to equip. We have special meetings at times. All of these are designed for equipping, preparing, mending, restoring, completing the saints for the work of the ministry. Again, the meetings are not an end in themselves. It's not that I came to the meeting, so that's what was accomplished. Hopefully more than that was accomplished, because the meetings are the means to the end of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ through the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, not to fill up time or fulfill an obligation. And then there are other scheduled activities. You might notice here in your bulletin, at 5 o'clock today, there's a ladies' Bible study. It's not listed, but on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, there's a Youth Alive Bible study. Monday night at 7:30, there's a men's Bible study. Once a month on Sunday night, there's a young adults Bible study. All of these are opportunities to be equipped through the Word and through fellowship one with another. We have men's and ladies' meetings. We had a men's meeting this past fall where it was focused on the men having an opportunity to share with one another different ways to engage the Word of God. The ladies just recently had a meeting when a sister shared her testimony with the purpose of challenging and encouraging and equipping the saints. And then there are other equipping activities which we as an assembly encourage and support. Some of them may be listed in the bulletin, some of them may not. Small group Bible studies in homes and personal Bible studies, mentoring relationships, hospitality, our theme this year, conferences, camps, retreats, and the very important fellowship with other believers. And then, of course, there is shepherding and mentoring by the elders and others. And all of this is in addition to individual responsibility to be in the Word of God, to be praying, to be seeking the Lord. We don't want to discount personal responsibility, but neither do we want to discount the need for gathering together. Are you being equipped for energized service? Are you taking advantage of all of the equipping, or as much of the equipping as you can, that is offered here with the local assembly? I hope now that as you come to the meetings, you'll look at it in a little different light. You know, what is going to be shared this morning, tonight, this afternoon, that will equip me to better energetically serve so the body can be built up, so the Lord Jesus can be exalted? You see, ultimately it's God who is doing the equipping. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, "I planted, I did my job. Apollos watered, he served, but God gave the increase." And we share the Word of God in different settings, and we rub shoulders, and we bang up against one another in the realities of life. And we're all tools, but God ultimately gives the increase. As Colossians 2:19 says, it's the increase that's from God. The Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church." Again, the goal is not to have an equipped assembly, but rather to have an equipped assembly that is energetically serving in such a way that the body is built up so that the Savior may be exalted. Remember, equipped saints should result in energized service, and that should lead to a built-up body, which will result in an exalted Savior. We're thankful for the equipping of the saints. We're thankful for you and the equipping that you've experienced and that others have. Many have been equipped here, and they've gone around the state, around the nation, around the world. And God is sending you into your school setting, your work setting, your home setting, your neighborhood, your community setting. He is equipping us to serve. We're going to close in just a moment. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes now, if you would. I just want to ask you something. Will you embrace this vision with us? This is not a vision for the elders. This is not a vision for the leaders. This is a vision for the assembly. Will you embrace it with us? Now, we want to be honest. It's going to take agreement. We're going to need to agree together that this is a scriptural, worthwhile vision, and that we need to share it in unity. It's going to require sacrifice. The Lord Jesus said, you need to count the cost. And it's going to require sacrifice. If we are really going to see God do something bigger than we've ever seen Him do before, it's going to come at the cost of sacrifice. It's going to require commitment. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're a part of this local assembly, I want to invite you on behalf of the elders to embrace this vision with us, and a decision must be made. A decision must be made by you whether or not you're going to embrace this vision of exalting the Lord Jesus through the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of His body. It's going to require faith. You're going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to yield to Him. You're going to have to be before Him in prayer as we all gather together and individually. It's going to require patience. You're going to have to be patient with yourself and patient with others and patient with the body. And finally, it's going to require follow through. We're going to have to step out. We're going to have to move. We're going to have to make some changes in our own lives. We're going to have to pick up some slack. We're going to have to be more involved in being equipped and more involved in energetically serving and more involved in building up the body and more involved in exalting the Savior, all of us. That's the invitation. Our vision is equipping saints to serve. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus, I'd love to tell you more about Him. He died for you and rose again. I'll give you just a moment to reflect and we'll close in prayer. Father, I thank You for our time together today. I thank You for these extra minutes that these folks have been gracious to allow me to have as we sought to finish up sharing this vision. Father, we thank You for the leadership You've raised up in this local assembly. Father, You know our hearts. Our hearts to have this meeting be a meeting that will be equipping saints. Lord, that they will be prepared and motivated to go out and serve both within the assembly and outside of the assembly, to go into this world, Father, to function in such a way that our lives reflect the Lord Jesus and we make a difference among the unbelievers. Father, You know that we want this body to be built up, not for the body's sake, but that Your Son might be rightfully exalted. And Lord, He is worthy of that. And Father, I pray that You will stir our hearts, not with emotion only, but Father, You will stir our hearts by Your Spirit, that we might make a spiritual decision before You. Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your love. And we pray in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord encourage as you reflect on this vision. Thank You for the extra time this morning.